From myths to models to madness. Annoying AI talking about interesting things.
Let's get started.
Welcome to another deep dive.
Today, we're really diving into the world of AI.
And specifically, all the data that fuels those algorithms.
Okay.
We're going to be asking, like, can AI ever run out of information to learn from?
Which sounds crazy, right?
Yeah.
But you've sent over some articles and research.
Yeah, it suggests it's a real possibility.
Yeah, it's a fascinating paradox, right?
We're practically drowning in data these days.
But there's this growing concern that AI might actually be nearing a data drought.
Yeah, and I gotta admit, just the scale of data that AI needs is something.
I really didn't fully grasp until I looked at these sources.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
The amount of data these models need has just exploded.
Take OpenAI's GPT models, for example.
Okay.
The first one, GPT-1,
back in 2012,
trained on something called Book Corpus,
which was about 4.5 gigabytes of data.
So like downloading a movie, roughly.
Exactly.
But fast forward to GPT-3.
A few years later.
570 gigabytes.
Wow.
Pulled from sources like Wikipedia, massive web archives like Common Crawl.
So like basically a snapshot of the entire internet.
Essentially, yeah.
And GPT-4.
Oh, well, GPT-4. Estimates suggest it devoured something like 13 trillion words.
Trillion with a T.
Trillion with a T.
Okay, so we're not talking about like baby steps here.
Each generation is a huge leap in data consumption.
Absolutely. It's exponential growth.
Which makes you wonder, how long can this go on?
Is there even that much data out there?
Right.
And where's it all coming from?
That's the crux of it.
For a long time, AI companies have relied on all the information that's readily available online.
Websites, public databases, everything.
Right.
Every time you browse the web, you're leaving a trail of data.
And that's been a goldmine for AI.
Until now, maybe, right?
Websites are starting to realize their data has value.
And they're putting up more roadblocks.
Yes. Those "we value your privacy" pop-ups are a sign of the times.
Right, exactly. They're everywhere these days.
But is it as simple as AI bad, websites good?
Not quite, no.
There are a lot of nuances here that get missed.
Like the Data Provenance Initiative, for instance.
Found that tons of websites don't even have clear ways to say how their data can be used.
Interesting.
So it's all very inconsistent.
Some AI crawlers get blocked, others don't.
It's a mess.
It's very murky.
So on the one hand, we've got these AI models gobbling up information.
Right, crazy.
And on the other hand, you've got growing concerns about where that information comes from.
Who gets to decide how it's used?
It's a tug of war.
Yeah, it is.
And it's one that affects everyone.
Not just the big tech companies, but all of us.
The everyday users who interact with these AI models.
Yeah, for sure. So we're talking about this clash, right?
AI needs to have all this information.
But then there's the rights of the people who create it.
And own that information.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation.
So where do we go from here? Are we headed for some kind of stalemate?
It's a good question.
And it's important to remember there are valid concerns on both sides.
Totally, yeah. Let's dig into that a bit.
What are some of those concerns?
Well, for one, you have a lot of content creators, artists, writers, musicians.
They're understandably worried.
I mean, they never agreed to have their work used to train these AI models.
Right.
And now there's this fear that AI could be used to create stuff that competes with their own work.
Right, like an artist who has a very specific style.
And the AI just absorbs that style and spits it back out.
Exactly.
That could really hurt someone's career.
Absolutely. And then there are the copyright issues.
Like, who owns the copyright to AI-generated content?
If it's based on someone else's work.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And it's not really clear-cut right now, is it?
Not at all. It's a legal gray area.
And on the flip side, then?
Who's concerned about restrictions on data access?
Well, there are definitely some concerns that if we make data too hard to get,
it could stifle innovation.
And not just for big companies, but for smaller startups, researchers,
nonprofits who rely on open data.
Right. That makes sense. And the Data Provenance Initiative study,
they talk about unintended consequences.
What do they mean by that?
So imagine a nonprofit that's building a language translation tool.
For a really rare language.
Okay.
They need access to diverse text data sets to make that work.
But if websites restrict scraping,
their project could be dead in the water.
Wow. So it could have a real impact on things like cultural preservation.
Exactly. Or even scientific discovery.
Think about researchers in medicine. Climate science.
They need huge data sets.
So it's a balancing act then.
We need to protect creators, make sure data use is ethical.
But also allow for innovation and progress.
Precisely. And the good news is that people are talking about it.
Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI.
He's even admitted that data scarcity is a real concern.
He has, yeah. And there's that other study you sent about how people actually use ChatGPT.
Which was interesting because it seems like there's a disconnect.
Oh, you mean the one about how news articles are a big part of the training data.
But people aren't really using ChatGPT for news.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are people using it for? It seems like mainly creative stuff.
Writing, brainstorming, coding, even role-playing games.
Interesting. So we're training these AIs on tons of news.
But people are using them to write poems.
It does make you wonder.
Are we wasting resources?
Should we be training them differently?
Those are really good questions.
And it suggests maybe we need to rethink how we collect data.
Like more targeted data collection.
Exactly.
Maybe this shift in user behavior can tell us something about how to move forward.
I think that's a very astute observation.
So, okay, we're maybe facing a future where AI can't just eat up all the data in sight, right?
It's looking that way.
So what are the alternatives? How do we keep feeding the AI beast?
That is the billion-dollar question, and honestly, some really brilliant minds are on it.
Okay, so what are they coming up with?
One idea that I find fascinating is synthetic data.
Synthetic data?
Yeah, you're creating artificial data sets that are like stand-ins for the real deal.
Okay.
Without actually using any real information.
So give me an example. How would that work?
Okay, so let's say you're training a medical AI.
Okay.
You wouldn't need a massive data set of real patient data.
Right.
Which obviously has huge privacy implications.
Of course.
You'd use a synthetic data set that's like a mirror of the real thing.
Okay.
Statistically speaking, but with no actual patient info.
So it's like creating a whole simulation for the AI to learn from.
Exactly. It's like the matrix for data.
Wow. And that actually works.
It's showing a lot of promise, especially for things like healthcare, finance, anything where privacy is a big concern.
That makes sense.
You could train a medical AI on millions of synthetic patients.
Test new treatments without putting anyone at risk.
That's amazing. But what about other areas?
Stuff that's not necessarily about privacy.
Like languages or creative writing?
Synthetic data can work there too.
Really?
People are using it to train AIs to write in different styles, even compose music.
That's wild. So synthetic data could be huge.
It has the potential, definitely.
Are there any other approaches out there that are like this?
Yeah, there's this thing called federated learning.
Okay.
Which is a more decentralized way of training.
Instead of gathering all the data in one place,
right,
you send the AI to where the data already is.
So instead of bringing the data to the AI, it's the AI going on a world tour.
Exactly. And it can train on all these different data sets.
Without actually moving the data itself.
Oh, that's really smart. And that helps with privacy concerns, too.
Especially, yeah.
It seems like these different ways of training AI could be the key here.
Finding new solutions, addressing these challenges we've been talking about.
Definitely. And it's bigger than just finding the tech solutions, right?
What else do we need?
We need to be having these conversations about data governance, about ethics.
About building AI responsibly.
It's about striking that balance, isn't it?
Pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
But doing it in a way that benefits everyone.
Exactly. And that's not just on the tech people to figure out.
Right. It's on all of us.
This impacts all of us.
So true. And it makes you think, right?
What if AI gets so good at creating its own data
that it doesn't need us to feed it anymore?
No.
What if it learns and evolves on its own?
Mind-blowing, right?
Totally. And a little bit scary, to be honest.
A little bit, but also exciting.
True. That's the thing about this whole field.
It's such an unknown. We're just scratching the surface.
We're all figuring this out together.
Exactly. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
And as always, a huge thank you to you, the listener,
for sending in such thought-provoking articles and research.
It's what makes these conversations possible.
For sure.
So until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions.
And keep diving deep.
Don't ask what AI can do for you. Ask what you can do with AI.
Let's go.
Empower yourself at virtualstorylab.com.